live and local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the program today we have two people conducting Sinfonia da Camera at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night. It's a program that includes both orchestral and orchestral/choral music. Fred Stoltzfus is guest, Ian Hobson, the music director, both of them with us on the program today. And then later on in the show, we have a representative of Danville High School, which is holding its annual Midwest Classic, which is a show choir competition for both middle school and high school show choirs for 14 years now. And they have 25 choral groups from around the country, expecting more than 4,000 spectators to show up throughout the next 2 days. We'll hear about that. And I hope here are some samples of some of the performances. That's all today on Live and Local this hour on FM 90.9. Music by George Frederick Handel. It's the overture to his opera called Alceste, or Alceste, they probably say in England. And Michael Laird featured on the natural trumpet with the English concert led by Trevor Pinnock here on FM 90.9. And I played that by way of introduction to one of the pieces that is on the concert this Saturday by Sinfonia da Camera at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. It's a three-work program, one of which is by Handel for choir and orchestra, his Dixit Dominus with the University of Illinois Chorale, guest conducted in this performance by Fred Stoltzfus, and then, of course, music director of Sinfonia da Camera. Since its founding is Ian Hobson, and he is conducting the other works on the program by Mozart and Schumann. Both of them are here with me here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, and thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on the show.
You're welcome.
First, for Ian, I've always been curious about something, both regarding various local groups, whether it's UI Symphony or CU Symphony or Sinfonia da Camera. You all seem, you who are music directors of those groups, seem fairly comfortable with just handing off the baton, particularly to the choral folks when they come in and, when you do something with them. Is that something you do easily? There's no ego going on here?
Not at all. Fred and I have collaborated on a number of things over the years. Operas, which require chorus, oratorios, and big works, like, which are sort of opera and oratorio, like the Ionescu Oedipe that we did, it's wonderful for the audience and wonderful for the orchestra too to work with the choral groups, and so we have done a long-standing tradition of doing this, and we'll continue to do so.
And Fred, this is—I mean—it's always got to be a treat for you to step in front of an orchestra, which you don't get to do every day.
It's wonderful, to say the least, and doubly so because of the skill and traditions of Sinfonia da Camera. It's a real pleasure to work with that group and to work with Ian in a variety of ways we've done over the years.
Let's assume, which is probably a fair assumption, Ian, that there are listeners out there who haven't yet encountered Sinfonia da Camera. Just give us an introduction to the group. What did you have in mind when you founded it way back when? And what's its mix of players?
Well, it's, as the title implies, it's a chamber orchestra, chamber symphony, Sinfonia da Camera.
Well, that's what it says, literally.
Literally. And so it had a core of 35 players. That is a string section plus pairs of winds and timpani, so that it would be able to do, as its core repertoire, the late Haydn symphonies, the Beethoven symphonies, most of them, and some other things. And so we've always included that mainstream repertoire in our offerings. But there are also many works, especially in the 20th century, for smaller forces than an enormous symphony orchestra. and we've tapped into a lot of those. We've done new music, which has been written for us, and string music that's where you can go more into the Romantic period. Whereas we wouldn't do a Brahms symphony, for example, we can certainly do a serenade, or we can do Tchaikovsky serenade. That's where it grew from. But we have, being in this environment here at the university, we can easily tap into a great tuba player or a, you know, trombonists, so that whenever we need this kind of enhancement of the group for pieces such as the Schumann Symphony that we're doing this weekend, we can do that.
There's a number of pieces this year that you do have quite a large orchestra for, relatively
yeah.
speaking.
Well, I've beefed up the string section. That is, we have a bigger string section because of the Schumann symphonies. There are some other works that benefit from a slightly larger string section, even the Magic Flute Overture of Mozart, because it has the trombones, and it has a bigger, richer sound than some of the leaner overtures, great as they are.
And, of course, you've just alluded directly to the other pieces on the program beside the Handel piece that we've mentioned. You're going to open with the Overture to the Magic Flute of Mozart and then close out with the First Symphony of Schumann. Are you doing – I haven't even noticed. Are you doing all the Schumanns this year?
Yes, that's the plan. We're doing the first two this season. On March 13th is the Second Symphony. And then in the fall, we plan to do the Rhenish number 3 on the first concert, and then number 4 on the second concert.
And this is a big anniversary of his.
200 years. The same as Chopin.
Of the birth.
They're both 200 years old.
Wow. Too bad Chopin didn't write more orchestral music. Are you doing the concertos this year then?
I'm doing one of the concertos, yeah.
This season?
The second, yes.
And that's coming up on which
That's
concert?
Coming up on the March concert.
And the March concert also.
So we get the Schumann Second Symphony and Chopin's Second Piano Concerto.
And we're still in a Handel year. Mm-hmm. Yes, through the rest of this academic year, technically speaking. Is that why this particular piece, the Handel Dixit Dominus?
No, we had a discussion about various possibilities. We actually discussed perhaps doing another Schumann piece for choir and orchestra. But for a variety of reasons, we decided not to go that way.
What does Schumann do for choir and orchestra?
Paradis und Peri, Requiem for Mignon are two major pieces that are not very often done very often, but very fine pieces, but substantial.
I didn't think I knew about them. I don't think I did know about them.
Yeah,
fairly certainly I didn't. Why Dixit Dominus? This is actually because that doesn't get done a whole lot.
It doesn't,
and yet. This is the second time in this academic year that that's been done.
Probably an anomaly. It certainly wasn't planned that way. We talked about various other possibilities when Schumann seemed not to be the right choice, and came on this one because it's a particularly striking piece coming from Handel's Italian period. He had just been in Hamburg, and he wrote his first opera, Almire. And he was visited by a so-called Prince of Tuscany, who was probably the son of Fernando de' Medici. And he told Handel, this young man, that he should come to Italy and absorb the best aspects of Italian church music for the voices. And he wanted him to actually join his entourage. And Handel said, no, thank you. I'll make enough money on my own and go there literally, he said, on my own bottom. And he actually did that. I met up with the prince, and then he ended up in Rome in 1707, found himself a couple of patrons, met up with Corelli and a number of other famous Italian musicians. And through those contacts, he wrote three Vesper psalms, this one being by far the most well-known. It's really a virtuosic display of compositional skill. The requirements that he placed, particularly on the choir, are stunning. He never wrote a piece this hard ever again or ever before. And it's a brilliant setting by this North German Lutheran composer of the first psalm of the Vespers, which is, of course, a very important Catholic liturgical group of psalm texts.
Yeah, you used the term Vesper psalm earlier. Is that because it comes out of this moment in the liturgy, or particularly liturgical service?
Yes. Well, no, it doesn't per se in his case. I mean, Mozart wrote two Vesper settings, which is five compositions plus a Magnificat. Handel never did a complete Vespers. He did this one and two others for performances in the middle of 1707, but he never completed. He never really did a lot of so-called church music. Of course, he wrote lots of oratorios, lots of operas, but this is really represents in many ways the pinnacle of his church compositional oeuvre.
And if it were going to be in a church setting, it would usually be an evening service, if I remember.
That's Vesper correct. Service. That's when the Vespers takes place.
But this would be a pretty noisy evening service.
Well, this would be roughly the relationship of Vespers that the Missa Solemnis would be to the Mass. it just doesn't really fit. If you had every Vesper setting of the five Psalms plus a Magnificat this long, you'd be there for 3.5 hours.
Well, we're not going to be here for 3.5 hours right now. We're just going to hear a sample from the very opening of the Dixit Dominus. What does that mean literally?
Dixit Dominus, it says literally, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And what it is an allegory taken from the Psalms, which is transplanted for the purposes of the Vesper into the image of Christ who conquers all the enemies.
So if we were just going to have the English title, it would say, "The Lord said."
Yes, something
or,
like that.
Or, "Thus saith
Thus
the Lord,"
the Lord,
or something
That's
like
right.
that.
That's right.
And here he does thus speak at the opening of Handel's work, a setting of Psalm 110, and a performance here by, who are these folks? This is a group I haven't heard of. The Coro della Radio, this is a Swiss radio, is that what it is?
Svizzera.
Of Lugano, and Duilio Galfetti is their leader with Ensemble Vanitas. I presume that's the choral ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing him on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool, which is a wonderful image. It's the opening music and text of Dixit Dominus, a psalm setting by George Frederick Handel, played here by the chorus and ensemble, chorus of the radio, of Swiss radio, Lugano, and Ensemble Vanitas, played here by, conducted by its leader, leader is the first violinist, Duilio Galfetti, and the conductor, Diego Fasolis, which I misidentified earlier. And that complete work will be heard on a concert by Sinfonia da Camera with the University of Illinois Chorale, conducted by Fred Stoltzfus, guests in the house with this ensemble Saturday at the Krannert Center in the Great Hall, and music director Ian Hobson also conducting on that program, of course, and both of those gentlemen with me right now here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Fred, two questions for you. First, you said earlier that that Handel never wrote anything before or after that was so difficult for the choir. What makes it so?
A couple of things. First of all, it's very rangy. Sopranos have to go regularly up to B flats. And baritones have to go up to high Fs, as well as, the lower part of the range. So it's demanding in terms of that. It's demanding in terms of just the coloratura writing. It's written for voices that are flexible, as well as bright and resonant. And there's a lot of polyphonic writing that just requires a great deal of precision at very quick tempi.
Polyphonic writing meaning voices sort of counter against each
That's
other.
That's correct. It's fugal textures.
And the ensemble that's singing is kind of a new one.
It's a new one. It's the premier choral ensemble of the School of Music. It consists of the best undergraduates in the school, as well as a few graduate students, as well as the graduate students in choral conducting. And we decided to put this ensemble together because it seems appropriate for a large School of Music to have the very best singers in a top choral ensemble, just like we place the best instrumentalists in in the top orchestra and the best wind players in the best symphonic band. And so that started off this year, and we have an ensemble of about 40 now, and it's wonderful to work with these talented people who, in many cases, are getting ready to go out into a music education career. But they get in this kind of an experience, a sense of performance demands that they can filter through their methodology classes, their methodology patterns of working, so that they develop a larger picture of the goals that one can strive for in a performance environment, be that elementary school, middle school, or high school.
We have another sample from the piece. This one is for solo voice and orchestra. You want to talk about this just briefly?
Well, this is for soprano solo, Tecum Principium. The text translates, "In the day of thy power shall the people offer thee freewill offerings within holy worship. The dew of thy birth is of the womb of the morning." It's a very lyrical piece, a lot of wonderful chamber music-like interaction between the upper strings and the soloist.
And is this the soprano one or two solo?
This is soprano one.
So that would probably be in this performance. Lena Lutens appears to be her name, in a performance conducted by Diego Fasolis here on Live and Local. Another sample from the Dixit Dominus. That's the third section, this one for soprano solo, obviously. "The people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth," is the A translation from Psalm 110 of Handel. Handel didn't write the psalm, but he wrote the music, and Diego Fasolis is conducting this ensemble. The complete piece performed by Sinfonia da Camera with the UI Chorale, conducted by Fred Stoltz, for Saturday night. Who are your soloists for this?
We have two sopranos. Actually, one of them, I'm not absolutely sure, unless she turned up sick yesterday, so I have to decide in the next half hour who I'm going to actually have do it. But anyway, in addition to that, Sungjin Park, Melissa Davis, Stephen Boyer, and Matthew Lees.
And these are all graduate students at the University of
Illinois? They're all grad students, yes. Well, no, I beg your pardon, Stephen Boyer is a really talented young tenor who just sort of dropped onto campus.
Oh, well, that's always a good thing to have. Mm-hmm. So Fred is guest conducting and on Saturday, and the music director also conducting two works on that program, the opening and closing works. Ian Hobson also with us here on Live and Local. And the Schumann Symphony, as you said earlier, part of this Schumann 200th year celebration. This is the first of his, nicknamed the Spring.
The Spring, which we need very much at this moment.
Yeah, no kidding. And what's the, I can't remember the reason for that nickname.
I'm not absolutely sure. I really don't know.
It wasn't his nickname, I don't think.
I don't think so, but it's a work that goes through from one movement to the next without pause. So it's a kind of fantasy symphony, and I think the one of the interesting things is that in the last movement there is a piece of music which is melodically identical to one of his piano suites, Kreisleriana, and he changes the rhythm, and it's if you don't know that it's coming, it's quite an interesting surprise.
And of course, you pick up on this because you've played all the Schumann piano works. Actually, you played them here in a cycle.
I played what I would call the great works of the young period. Because, you know, that's one of the things that I'm thinking about this name, this title. Schumann wrote, first of all, piano music, and then until about 1839, and then he had his year of song, which was when he was writing songs in love with his, I guess, wife at that time. They had become married, Clara Schumann. And then he turned his attention to chamber music, and then he had turned his attention to symphonies. So he did one thing after another, you know, rather than doing them concurrently.
Yeah, I remember reading a bio of his, I think, when I was conducting one of the Second Symphony a few years ago. And I hadn't read much about him other than short articles before, and I hadn't realized either that most of the piano stuff was all early.
Yes.
And some of them when he was really quite young. And all of them have this, you used the term fantasy earlier, but they are like little character pieces.
Well, the Kreisleriana is based on a tale of Hoffmann about an eccentric conductor. That's Kreisleriana. Chrysler is not Fritz Kreisler. Kreisler is the conductor in the stories. And so maybe that's why this character appears in Schumann's symphony, First Symphony.
Which we'll sample here. This is the opening of the last movement of the First Symphony, nicknamed The Spring. In this performance, we're hearing the, I'm translating from the French title they give themselves, the Revolutionary and Romantic Orchestra, conducted by John Elliott Gardner, here on Live and Local. I intended to play just the opening of that, but I couldn't turn it off. I just love I love that music. It's the final movement of the First Symphony of Robert Schumann, nicknamed The Spring, and the performance here by the Revolutionary and Romantic Orchestra led by John Elliott Gardner. And you can hear the work in its entirety by Sinfonietta Camera at the University of Illinois. Saturday night, that's tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Ian Hobson is music director and will conduct that work and the Overture to the Magic Flute by Mozart to start out the program. Fred Stoltzfus, also my guest this portion of Live and Local, will be guest conductor for Handel's Dixit Dominus with the University of Illinois Chorale and Soloists. So that's all tomorrow night at 7:30. And by way of leading into our events calendar for today's program, Ian, you mentioned something I hadn't realized, that Sunday afternoon, members of Sinfonia are doing a chamber concert of exclusively Schumann's music.
Yes, it's we're taking advantage of our principal players in Sinfonia and as well as faculty members. We're going to be doing the Oboe Romances with John Dee, and with Csaba Erdely, the fairy tales for viola and piano, and there are also some other fairy tales for viola, clarinet, and piano.
Oh, those are beautiful pieces.
Which we're doing with Ellie Eban, who is our guest principal clarinetist on this concert, and I'm doing also with him the Fantasiestücke for clarinet and piano, and we end with a very, very unusual work, which is the Andante and Variations for two pianos, two cellos, and horn.
That's completely new to me.
Yeah, which is an alternative version of the two piano alone variations by Schumann, and it exists in this version.
And the other
pianist, which is really fantastic. And Brandon Vamos of the Pacifica Quartet is playing the cello, and Amy Flores, our principal cellist, is playing the other cello part, and Thomas Jurslein is playing the horn, and Edward Rath and myself are on the pianos.
Wow, that's a wonderful program. Thanks for letting me know about it, and of course now our listeners. That's Sunday night at 7 o'clock at Smith Hall on the University of Illinois campus at the School of Music. And thank you, gentlemen, both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Best of luck on the concert. And feel free to mosey on out as I give our calendar, so folks may hear the shuffling in the background. And you can enjoy again that concert Saturday night by Sinfonietta Camera at the Krannert Center. Here's some other things going on. Nonsense 2, The Second Coming, is wrapping up at Parkland Theater in Champaign. That's Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30. Acapella 5 is the name of the event at Unity High School in Tolono with various guest groups, mostly from the University of Illinois, the Extension Chords, Rip Chords, and No Comment, plus Unity's own new acapella groups. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. And Central Illinois Jazz Festival in Decatur is tonight and tomorrow from 5 tonight until midnight. And then tomorrow it runs from 10 in the morning till 2 in the morning on Sunday. It's at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel, Central Illinois Jazz Festival. February Dance, put on by the University of Illinois Dance Department, is tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. The Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra gives its Young Artists Concert at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center in Decatur Saturday night at 7:30. Singer Matt Belsante gives a jazz cabaret in benefit of WGLT in Normal at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal. That is 7 o'clock on Saturday. For more information, WGLT.org. Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony in Springfield is giving its concerto competition finals concert at the Hoagland Center for the Arts at Saturday afternoon at 1:30. Springfield Ballet Company gives its annual gala called Love is in the Air. That's also at the Hoagland Center for the Arts Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And on Sunday, Kayla Brown, Angie Heaton, and Rebecca Williams are at Mike and Molly's in downtown Champaign, all singer-songwriters. That's Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Bucky Halker, who was on this program the other day, presents Folk Songs of Illinois at the Champaign Public Library Sunday afternoon at 2. The Central Illinois Jazz Festival continues on Sunday. Again, the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday. Also this weekend, tonight and tomorrow, it is the Midwest Classic at Danville High School of show choirs from various places across the country and throughout the Midwest. And we will hear about that in just a moment here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is FM 90.9. We're listening to the ensemble called Chanticleer with the Don Haas Trio. So Many Stars by Alan and Marilyn Bergman and Sergio Mendez, arranged by Jorge Calandrelli, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And that's kind of by way of introduction to this last segment on Live and Local for today's show, which has to do with Danville High School's annual Midwest Classic, which is their annual show choir competition. And we have with us one of the parents of folks at Danville in one of the show choirs there, who's also on the publicity committee for this particular event. Terry Kasem drove over from Danville in the, well, not much snow out there right now. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Well, it's a pleasure. And next time I hope we can maybe have enough notice. We can have some folks come in and sing, because I think about a year ago we had a few kids from the North Ridge Redcoats.
Oh, yes. That's our middle school in Danville.
And they won the thing last year, didn't they? Or they won another one somewhere.
They won. They were grand champions at Nationals in Nashville, Tennessee.
Even better.
But they're not. They're hosts. All of our local schools are hosts for the Midwest Classic this weekend.
So you can't win. They can't win.
No. They'll still get judges' comments, but no, they can't win.
Well, tell us about this event. You've been doing this this is the 14th year?
Yeah. I haven't been involved for that many years, but I've been involved for several, and it's an exciting event. It's a great place to come and hear a lot of great vocals, see a lot of great dancing, hear a lot of great combo music, all put together in one complete show. Each high school has a different show, so every time you walk into the auditorium, you're going to see something different.
And you can walk into the auditorium. Well, there's actually two shows. One is tonight with the middle school.
Correct.
Groups. And then tomorrow, all day long and into the night, well into the night.
Well into the night,
high school
yes.
groups. What are they, so when does it start tonight?
It starts tonight. Our first performance will be at 6 o'clock.
And then all the way up until at least 10:30, because that's when you give out the awards.
Yes. Our last performance will be right around 10 p.m., and then they'll tabulate all of the scores and hand out awards.
And on Saturday you start?
8 a.m. in the morning with the first performance.
8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is, I see, they even tells you. I'm looking at the complete schedule that says which time everybody gets their picture taken.
Yeah.
So that's at 7:10 tomorrow morning for the Edgewood Sophisticated Ladies.
Yes.
Where are the press release said that you've got folks from around the country.
Yes, we have groups from Indiana, like Center Grove, which is just south of Indianapolis. And we also have groups from up near Chicago, Illinois, that come down and join us. So, and then, of course, we have our own locals that are in the area. For example, like tonight, Johns Hill Experience from Decatur, things like that. So there's close by, and then there's 4 hours, 5 hours away.
Okay, so but Midwest, hence the Midwest Classic title.
Hence the Midwest name, yes.
Tell me a little bit about some of the differences of some of the groups that show up. You mentioned while we were listening to that music of Chanticleer that some of them have combos, some of them have more instruments backing them.
Each group is different. Shows usually start with an opener, something fun and somewhat lively, eventually move into a ballad, which tends to be a little bit slower, shows more skill in intonation and blending of vocals, and then eventually goes to a closer, which is usually some kind of excitement, almost looks like a party on stage. And groups will come with different levels of musical instrumental background, things like just piano and keyboard and drums, or a full-fledged background band with brass, trumpets, saxophones, trombones, the whole bit.
And do those with the more instruments tend to win, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I think they're judged on several things. Not only are they judged on vocals, but they're also judged on their performance dancing-wise, how well they dance. Are they in rhythm with each other? Are all the moves at the same time? As well as their faces. Do they look like they're having fun on stage, or are they just, you know, there?
How many kids typically in a group?
There are actually three different styles of groups. There is the small group, which is usually 25 to 30. That's an average somewhere.
That's small.
That's small.
Okay.
And smaller. They can be smaller than that. Then there's a large group, which is usually anywhere from 40 on up. So it gets pretty big. There's two different styles of large groups. There's unisex groups, and then there's combined groups, boys and girls. So the unisex division is all females, which is a different sound than our unisex or our non-unisex groups.
All the unisex groups are only female. There's no all-male groups.
No, there are no all-male groups that I'm aware of competing.
Really? Why would that be? Any idea? Is that required?
No, it's not required. I've never seen a division for it, I guess, to be honest with you.
that would be curious to find out. I wouldn't have thought of that. And how do the how many groups are there at Danville High School?
There are two groups at Danville High School. Delegation, which is the combination group, boys and girls. And then there is the Contemporaires, which is the all-female group.
How do they go to their own competitions? Because this one they can't compete, but they go to others?
Yes, they do travel. They will travel to El Paso Gridley this year. They will also travel to places in the Central Illinois region.
And how do they do? Good couple of groups?
Yes, actually they went to Nationals last year and they were in the finalist category.
Really? Terrific.
Yes, and I believe the final result was fifth place.
Well, what are some of the other towns, say, within WILA's listening area? You know, it includes, for example, you mentioned Decatur, Springfield, Champaign-Urbana, Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other ones around?
Hersher, H.L. Richards up, I believe that's near Chicago. And then Sullivan Singers from Sullivan, Illinois. Center Grove from over in Indiana. Crete Monee. We also have El Paso Gridley, like I said, Thomas Jefferson, which is in near Decatur, and then Franklin Central, which Franklin is just over the border in Indiana on your way towards Indianapolis.
There's a lot, and Pekin is on here. I noticed here's a category, here's at least a segment for about half an hour where it's just dance teams.
Yes, some of the high schools have their own dance team. Danville High School does have their own dance team as well. There's three competing this year, Manteno, Center Grove, and Crete Monee, coming with dance teams. Those are held in our little theater, so They tend to be smaller groups, less number of people, and they'll fit in our small auditorium.
And there will be performances by the Danville locals as what do they call those things?
Exhibitions.
Exhibition. Thank you
yes.
very much. I knew there was a word for it. I wasn't remembering. And the championship awards on Saturday night, given at 11:30 at night.
Correct. All the groups will compete. In the afternoon after our delegation group performs, on Saturday afternoon, they actually perform at about 6:15. They will give what they call preliminary awards, and they will put all of the groups that performed into finalist categories. If they made finalists, the top six will then recompete and go for the top award.
Wow. The auditing, I mean, that somebody can pop in any time in there, and I guess it never stops.
No, it doesn't.
I'm looking at the schedule here. It's like clockwork here. Every half hour, somebody's different in the auditorium. And the little theater has them even closer than that together.
Yeah, those are soloists in the little theater and the dance teams, and their performances take less amount of time.
So just solos with combo or something like that?
Or piano accompaniment, yeah.
Wow, really? Wow, so this is incredible. And if you can actually get the schedule, by the way. I just Googled Danville High School. It's sort of a long web address. But Google Danville High School Midwest Classic, and you get mm-hmm. there, and there's a
Yeah, right on
says,
the front
here's
page.
The schedule.
Yep.
Yeah. So if somebody wants to get more information by phone,
they can call the school, Danville High School, and talk to someone there.
That's area 217-444-1502.
Yep, that's
main school number.
Nice number to use.
A nice number to use. And is there any cost?
There is a cost of entrance. The most you would pay would be $10 to get in, but then you're in, and you can watch. You can sit in the auditorium all day, watch all the groups, or you can stay for, an hour and leave.
Can you come back the next day if you get it tonight?
If you get the right wristband, you can buy a wristband for the entire event and come and go as you'd like.
Great. Well, that sounds like a splendid time. And Terry Kasem, my guest here on Live and Local, Danville High School, hosting its 14th annual show choir competition called the Midwest Classic. Middle school groups start at 5 o'clock tonight, and then the high school starts at 8 o'clock, tomorrow morning. And it goes all day and all night long tomorrow and all night long tonight. Thanks very much for joining us, and it sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and still actually trying to figure out everybody who's going to be on the show on Monday. I can tell you that dancer Kate Cooper will be here talking a bit about some dance for Parkinson's that happens quite regularly at the dance studio at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. I'm eager to hear what that is all about. You will be hearing it as well on Monday's edition of Live and Local. Here's a quick look at the forecast, if I can actually uncover it with all of my pieces of paper sitting here. And winter weather advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock tomorrow morning for most of our listening area. This afternoon, periods of snow with accumulations of around 2 inches by evening, high temperature hovering around 32. Tonight, cloudy and windy with snow and an additional accumulation of an inch or two for a total of 2 to 4 inches, the low tonight 25. Tomorrow, cloudy and windy with a chance of some flurries, the high 29. And Sunday's outlook is for a partly sunny sky and a high of 26 degrees. This is WYLL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. And we are a service broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. Coming up at 101, news headlines at 106, Jeff Esworthy has classical music for you. And then at 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock this afternoon, it is Symphony Bowl 2010, pitting the Los Angeles Philharmonic against the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra for a shot at the National Symphony League Championship from 2 to 4 this afternoon right here on FM 90.9. Have a great day and a good weekend.